This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Rental dockless e-scooters are earning praise and contempt. They're championed by some as a green alternative transportation method. Others see them as a public safety hazard. And they both could be right. They can be that way if the city will provide guidance and regulation that could boost the benefits and minimize the potential for harm. We might be able to find a balance with the e-scooters. If you have if you want to join our conversation, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined this first half hour with Roberto Trevino, the San Antonio City Council representative for District 1. John Jacks is the director of the Center City Development and Operations Department. And Dan Solomon is on the line. He's a writer for Texas Monthly. He's been covering the scooters. And welcome to The Source, all of y'all. Councilman Trevino, where are we with the scooters? I know we have a trial period, some sort of plan in place.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a pilot program, and I've met with John Jacks and Lori Houston about creating a framework. What I think we need to do now, right in the middle of our pilot program, is to try some new things out. I've outlined some of those. I think that framework is important to outline, because, as you pointed out, we want to create a balance that allows for innovative products and technologies to be able to come into San Antonio, be utilized in a way that I think works in concert with all of our other resources that we have in our city. And so with that, I think it's critical that we take a look at our ability to move around as a city. We know that it is a last-mile transportation option, but I think it just shouldn't be looked at as a last 3-foot option. And so finding a way to make sure that these scooters can coexist, especially downtown and in our neighborhoods, is critical. And I can say that the items that I've asked for the city to take a look at are already underway. One of those is looking at parking zones to make sure that we can find a better way for these scooters to be placed, rather than just be thrown all over the sidewalks or in other areas where they look like sometimes they're just being littered in different areas. And certainly in historic neighborhoods, there's a lot of care for the character and nature of those neighborhoods. So we want to make sure that we're allowing that framework and to be established with these parking zones. Additionally, I want to point out that our 311 system is an important system. It's a system that we use to collect data and information about what the concerns and needs are within our city. We've upgraded and included a 311 SA app. I've asked Paula Stalkup, who manages the 311 SA app, to include a section in there for scooters. I've been told that it will be in the next update here in a week or so. I encourage everybody to download the 311 SA app. Utilize it as much as possible. This is an important tool for the city and for all of us to help document a lot of the issues that we're seeing throughout town. And so this is part of that framework that I think is already underway. I'm happy to report that we're also going to be talking and working with Centro to develop some of these private partnerships that I think can help us through this as well, so that we can utilize this idea of parking zones, scooter zones, that can be can utilize residual spaces throughout the city to create a network of availability for these scooters.
So John Jacks, director of the Center City Development and Operations Department, what's the fear, what's the hope with these scooters?
I think we're still looking for a good balance. As the councilman pointed out, we know that people are using them and that it is a last-mile option for individuals. But we also have to respect the other users of our right-of-way, particularly sidewalks, whether it be pedestrians or somebody in a wheelchair. We have to strike a good balance so that we're not negatively impacting other users of that space.
Dan Solomon, writer for Texas Monthly, you've been covering what's happening with these scooters, and you have talked about how the CDC is now launching a study after Austin has requested that. What's that about?
Well, yeah, the CDC has been, you know, trying to sort of find a test case for this, and they picked Austin as a way to figure out, you know, what are the actual health risks of these things, because they certainly exist. You know, there are a lot of people who end up getting injured on them because there's not a whole lot of training that you get before you get on one. So the CDC is in Austin looking at, you know, I think a 3-month window and trying to understand what leads people and to get a better sense of what the risks are.
Now, I got an email from a local ER doctor. He says that he takes care of trauma patients all the time from scooter injuries, and he's talking about a flood of patients over the last few months. He says it is now a regular occurrence to get trauma activation from hospital from patients with broken jaws, broken skulls, brain bleeds, and various other catastrophic injuries from these scooters. So, isn't that something that we need to be paying attention to? It's a cosmetic issue. It's a problem for sidewalks that these scooters fall over. But what about, you know, keeping track of the injuries, Councilman?
No, we agree. And which is why this is, as you pointed out, it's not just a cosmetic issue. The fact that we want to create these parking zones is primarily because we want to make sure that we clear the pedestrian travel and make it nice and safe for the already existing pedestrian mobility within our city. We got to consider the fact that we have made downtown more walkable. We're making our neighborhoods more walkable as well, and that means providing ADA accessible ramps, accessibility to entrances of buildings, and all those things are part of understanding public safety as a big picture. And these scooters, like anything else, we want to create a framework that people can follow practices.
The scooters can go up to 15 miles an hour or even higher on some of them. Is it possible that the city could cap the speed limit on these scooters, require that they can go no faster than 10 miles an hour, and they could set that up electronically with a download for each one of those companies?
Yes, that is a possibility. And in talking with the companies, we know that that they can actually go even faster than that if allowed.
We want them to go slower.
Because
there's a huge difference in the risk of injury that a person will have from a 10-mile-an-hour scooter and a 15-mile-an-hour scooter.
Speed is always a factor, and we encourage lower speed limits for scooters, bikes, and cars altogether.
But so a speed cap.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll definitely look into that. I know that that's possible because the scooter companies already have a speed cap on their scooters. Determining that number, I think, is something to talk about.
And the city would have the authority? I mean, these are city streets, city sidewalks.
You set
speed limits all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that understanding that this is something that we want to work collaboratively with the scooter companies, this would be something that we should be talking about, setting speed caps. Would certainly be something that I think we should talk about.
All right, we're taking a break. We come back, we'll take some calls. A lot of people want to join in talking about what's going on with these scooters. They can be a blessing or they could be a curse for San Antonio, depending on how these are handled. They're popular with many, and the other people, you know, they don't like them. So what do you think about the scooters? Give us a call. Have you been on one? They're fun to ride, but then again, if something goes wrong, if you're going very fast, you can get pretty banged up. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. There are thousands of electric scooters on the streets of San Antonio available to anyone with a driver's license and a credit card to rent one at will. What's happening to San Antonio with these e-scooters? Are they making our streets more dangerous, more safe? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. We're now joined with Casey Whittington. He is with the Blue Duck Scooters Company. And Casey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks guys for having me. Councilman Trevino and Mr. Jack, you guys have been doing some wonderful work, and I just want to say that Blue Duck agrees with all the changes we want to see made in the city. We would love to push for some caps. We think that the number of scooters has gotten out of hand. I don't think anybody could have predicted that we would be having this many scooters when John and I started first talking about this probably 6 or 8 months ago. So we're really in favor of all of the caps. The reduced speed limit would add a little bit of the cost to the end user, so that's something we're not opposed to. It's just something we need to make sure we balance. If we slow the ride down, it takes longer. Therefore, the user is going to pay a little bit more. We're okay with that. We are still handing out free helmets to everyone and anyone who calls and asks for it. All over our social media, you can call us, and we'll send you a helmet. And we're actually working with the city to try to do some safety classes, both for pedestrians, riders, and people in their cars, so we can all learn how to interact better as we kind of grow into this second phase of our scooter journey.
All right, Casey Whittington, thank you so much, Blue Duck Scooters. So let me ask John Jacks, these rules are only going to be as good as the enforcement by having a helmet on. You know, is that a rule or a suggestion? What about enforcement? Is SAPD going to be out there issuing tickets?
So helmets are not required as per the ordinance, but however, they are recommended, just similar to bicycles. Bicycles do not require a helmet either, but it is obviously highly recommended that if you are using a bike or a scooter that you wear a helmet. And we applaud the companies for offering free helmets to users. In terms of enforcement, we're looking at several different strategies for enforcement, whether it's in regards to riding or parking. A lot of that is leveraging the technology that's in the scooters themselves. Because they are GPS-based, there is opportunities for geofencing, which basically means that the ability to prevent riding in certain areas or better safety or better riding habits in certain areas. It is a Class C misdemeanor if you are breaking that ordinance as far as riding is concerned. So the San Antonio Police Department certainly could issue a citation if warranted. Similar to if you're pulled over for speeding, you may be issued a warning or you may be issued a citation.
Now, if someone gets on a scooter, you know, they're accepting some level of risk. But if you're just walking down the sidewalk and you get, you know, knocked over by a scooter, that's no fault of yours, and yet you could be injured by that. So how do we square that? You know, these people, they have every right to be on the sidewalk too, and yet they're being put at risk because of electric scooters. So, you know, what about our pedestrians, Councilman Trevino?
Well, that's a great point, which is why I advocated for a pedestrian mobility officer position be added to our city staff. And I'm proud of the fact that the city is moving forward on hiring, looking through a national search to find a pedestrian mobility officer to add to our city staff. Because, as you pointed out, we want to create a plan for pedestrian travel, safe pedestrian travel in our city, and having a pedestrian mobility officer is going to help us navigate these kinds of issues as we face them in the future and as we're facing today.
So I understand that there's a current regulation says that you can ride a scooter on the sidewalk, but you have to stay 2 feet away from pedestrians. Is that the correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So how do you enforce something like that?
Well, it would be up to, again, if there's a police officer that witnesses somebody who's not maintaining that distance from pedestrians, they have the discretion to stop that person, either warn them, ask them to stop, issue them a citation.
Or if I have the tread marks on my back, is that something I can use to show that they violated that?
I think if there was an accident and a police officer didn't witness, then certainly there could be other witnesses or someone that could corroborate that, and perhaps a citation could be issued.
Which, by the way, I want to point out, that's why I mentioned the 311SA app, because the 311SA app allows us to document a lot more, especially by taking photographs of incidents. So, you know, I encourage everybody to download the 311SA app. This is happening quite a bit, and we want to address it and get the information.
We need the data. We need people to report on these things. Dan Solomon, Texas Monthly Reporter, you're reporting on these e-scooters, looking at it from the perspective of multiple cities. Austin seems to have it in droves. Is the Texas legislature going to be taking something like this up?
They haven't discussed it yet. It wouldn't shock me if they did, because, I mean, the legislators themselves are going to be seeing the scooters all over Austin if they're not based here full-time now that we're in session. So I think it's something that people tend to have an opinion on, and given the way that they handled things like Uber and Lyft in the last session and their kind of general interest in having a statewide regulation for these sort of things, I wouldn't be shocked if they took it up. I don't believe anyone's introduced anything yet. I could be wrong about that. But I wouldn't be surprised if it did become something that they decided to take up.
And given the history with Uber and Lyft and their attitudes in Austin, in the legislature, in the Capitol, what kind of, you know, law would they pass? You know, and what sort of regulation ability would they take away from cities where these city councils are having to, you know, they're right on top of this as well?
You know, it's a good question. I think that there's a difference here in that the scooters tend to be really polarizing in ways that Uber and Lyft aren't. You know, those can be polarizing in certain ways, but generally people have a framework for understanding cars on the road, whereas these scooters annoy people. So I think that you'd find that the legislature might not be as, you know, as interested in giving the companies the same sort of carte blanche they kind of gave Uber and Lyft last time around. I you know, I'm speculating there, but I think that people would hear from their constituents that they don't like the scooters more than they would hear that, you know, these are just an unadorned good thing.
Yeah, but what they know, the lawmakers are also very sensitive to the needs of corporations. And so if they've hired lobbyists, they might be able to find a lane in the Capitol building. Let's go to Matthew W. on the phone. And Matthew W., welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Glad to be here.
Go ahead.
I've spent a lot of time both in Austin and San Antonio, and I'd say the problem might be a little worse in Austin as far as a number of scooters go, but I have a long history of being a bicycle commuter, when I use scooters, I try to, like, ride them, I guess, in a bike lane if available, or in a travel lane if that's the best option. But in San Antonio, I've found the drivers are a lot more hostile about that, like trying to maybe intentionally run me off the road on a scooter. Like, maybe people just aren't used to sharing and playing nice.
All right, Matthew W., thank you for that call. Some people are very hopeful, Councilman Trevino, that the scooters will be a way to get more energy into having bike safety lanes.
Yes. In fact, I think this is one of the first things I said was when scooters were coming in, was it exposed the lack of options that we have for bicyclists, because a bike lane would be a good logical location for the scooters to exist if we had more of them. In fact, we've been talking a lot about some of our bond improvement projects, and the focus is more car-centric. And you know, we know that bicyclists in San Antonio are asking us to add more bike lanes, to consider the improvements to not just revolve around automobiles.
I get the mayor of Hollywood Park, Chris Murphy, on the line. And Mayor Murphy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you. I read the article Councilman Trevino included last weekend and found it very interesting. And I was wondering what the impact, with all the infrastructure in place for the bike rentals and with power and space and resources dedicated to them, how those can be integrated into some sort of a personal mobility initiative going forward.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Murphy. Councilman?
No, that's a great point. When we were looking at B-Cycle a few years ago, one of the first issues that we had was really the locations of those B-Cycles and how they were distributed throughout the city. And we came up with a smarter approach. We located them in areas that were easily accessible, more accessible throughout the Mission Reach, for example, where people were actually using them. But it really identified a framework that I think we can follow. And in fact, John Jackson and I were just talking about how we're going to be looking at these locations for these parking zones where we can include scooters to be available throughout downtown, throughout neighborhoods, throughout a city that doesn't have these locations in place now. And so I think that really is a good example of how these locations have helped B-Cycle and I think would help scooters.
Got another caller on the line, Lexa. Hi, Lexa. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, so like the previous caller, I'm a cyclist as well, but my problem that I've been experiencing is people in parks. Steering along the walkways and bike trails, people are taking scooters in there, leaving them loitered all about. That way it creates a hazard, not just for people who are walking, but for cycling where we have to curb off the road, somebody's going to run us over, somebody's running off the road, the pedestrians. Sorry, I'm outside jogging. And yeah, so that's my problem. People take them into parks that they shouldn't be taking them into.
All right, Lexa, thank you for the call. Let me get one more caller. We got Rodrigo. And Rodrigo, hi. We're short on time, but go ahead.
I was wondering if the city has considered utilizing certain lanes and pretty much setting up a schedule so, like, during weekends, maybe a certain traffic lane can be used for scooters only rather than vehicles.
Right, Rodrigo, thank you for that. So coming up with schedules, sharing of the lanes and resources, infrastructure according to demand, Councilman?
Well, this is a good example of the benefits of having a pedestrian mobility officer with the city, because the pedestrian mobility officer is going to exist in our Transportation and Capital Improvements Department to work with traffic engineers to better understand these kinds of options that we can maybe deploy. The bottom line is we all need to coexist with these different transportation options, and we want to find a way to work with the subject matter experts to help us find a way to protect the public in cases where we're impacting the pedestrian travel. I think that this is a good example that the city is in San Antonio can work towards finding a solution so that we can coexist with these great ideas and solutions while protecting pedestrian mobility in our city.
And Dan Solomon from Texas Monthly, in your reporting on electric scooters, are they spreading to other cities outside of the major metropolitan areas? Will they be in Amarillo, Abilene?
Sure, yeah. They're already in some of the smaller cities, especially ones that have colleges there. They're in Lubbock. I believe that one of the companies is in Abilene. I think that that's really inevitable because they're very cheap and, smaller cities can use them too.
So no longer there will be an oddity. It'll be part of, life, and all the cities in Texas will having to come up with solutions. And are y'all getting together with other cities, councilmen, to figure out, try out different ways of dealing with this?
Yes, I know that we've been looking at what other cities are doing to try to incorporate during this pilot period some new ideas. And I know that the parking zone is not a new idea. There's areas where we're painting what they call bird cages or I'm not sure what else they call them, but we're looking at maybe augmenting that and creating a more physical space that really extends the sidewalk into a more safe area for these to exist without it having to go into a traffic zone. So we are looking at other cities, but we know that we have a very unique city, a unique downtown, and we want to incorporate those ideas with some of the things we know is unique to San Antonio.
Is San Antonio getting any revenue from these scooters?
Yes, we do. We charge a permit fee, a one-time permit fee application of $500. Then there's $10 per vehicle. So right now, based on the number of applications that have been submitted, roughly about $130,000 in revenue.
And that's money that could be dedicated to someone trying to bird dog the birds.
Yeah, and so we're actually this year, in the new year, we're increasing enforcement for parking. And so some of that revenue could offset the cost for enforcement.
All right. And how long was the pilot program before?
I think that we're getting a report back in April.
Right. It was a six-month pilot program.
Yeah. So right in the middle at the halfway point, and hope to make some adjustments now so that we can get some meaningful data.
All right. We'll love to hear back and get an update here on the air. Obviously, our listeners are very interested in this. And we've got Roberto Trevino, council member representing District 1, John Jacks, director of Center City Development and Operations Department, Dan Solomon, a writer for Texas Monthly. Thank you so much. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to hear from Congressman Joaquin Castro about Trump's speech last night. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.